Good morning, good afternoon. Welcome everybody to the Hour of Truth. The thing did not work right. That's what happens when it catches me talking when I'm supposed to be paying attention. It's Paul Muller here with the Hour of Truth. I have Philip Walthall on my right and Scott Bishop on my right and James Usler on the line from Elberton, Georgia. So, gentlemen, what are we going to talk about? You had some stuff going there before we started.
Yeah. There's quite a bit. You know, I was actually reading in James this morning. There was just in James, I seen some connections to kind of what you were saying there, Scott, with some of the things that were Davey later on in James 4 received. Some connection where Davey was preaching about this morning. And, you know, one of the things that actually brought me to James is what I looked at. And I've been going over Samuel, and we don't have to turn there, but I'm just going to kind of narrate it because going reading through it might take a bit. But when I was going through 1 Samuel, and you had Hannah, who was barren. She could not bear kids. And what she did was she went unto the Lord. And it's one thing is that here's this impossible situation where she was barren. She could not have kids. And she went to the Lord so that she could have kids. And she said her complaint unto the Lord and asked, you know, the Lord to have mercy on her handmaid. And, you know, what Eli did, and Eli said, you know, Eli first says, what are you, drunk? Because she's talking. Her lips are moving. There's no sound coming out. What are you drunk? Are you a daughter of Beziel? Or I forget the word. And, she says, no, I'm crying out unto my Lord. Please don't mistake me for that. And, you know, I've said my complaint unto the Lord, and I went to the Lord in my situation and my need. And he says, well, according to, what you asked to, let it happen. And one of the things that she did was, this is an interesting thing. She was in a situation where she was barren, and when she came to that place, she actually said, Lord, look, if you give me a child, I will give him to you. I will give him to you. And it's that where she not only wanted something from the Lord, but she wanted it from the Lord to give back to him. And to glorify him. And that's exactly what she did. And she fulfilled that. And because of that, you can see later where she has many children after that.
Sure.
I mean, the Lord did his part. She did hers. She did what she said.
And then she was blessed on the other side.
Blessed, yeah, abundantly. She can ask or think on the other side of that. But she, you know, the heart that it was she wanted that thing to what? Serve the Lord with. And I was looking at James this morning, looking in James 4. And it, you know, in 4:1, we can start 4:1, it says, from whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that warn your members? You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, you fight and war, you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Now, you look at Hannah, and what she did is she did not do that. She didn't ask those things to consume upon her own lust. She asked those things that she gave back to the Lord. She did it to glorify the Lord. And, you know, you were talking about this morning and 2 Chronicles. I was slipped open to it. I wish I was.
I think it was over again. Like 2 Chronicles 7:14.
Yeah. And you see in that where, oh my people, my people. And I need to just turn to it.
You want me to read that verse?
Yes, go ahead.
If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land.
Yeah, you got that right. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. One of the things you were talking about is seeking him first. His agenda, his plan, not your own. And what we find is here is that, and we receive not because we ask, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust. I mean, what is the things that you're requiring of the Lord? What is it that you want? I mean, what's your motive behind what you want? Is it for just your own self in the sense of just to satisfy your own lust? I mean, because that's not beneficial. You don't receive that because the Lord loves you, and if He gives you that thing that will, that's just going to boost up your pride, and it's for your own lust.
Separate you farther from Him.
And drag you to hell. Why would He do that? He's a loving Father. He's not going to do that. But you see an example of, you know, we have a testimony. We all have a testimony like Hannah in a terrible situation. I know I have in a messed up situation. Who cried out unto the Lord. Well, what happens? What do I use that testimony for?
Do I use it to point folks to God?
Or do I use it to point folks to God? Exactly. Or do I even use it at all? Did I just take that talent and hide it in the dirt? You know, I mean, that's just a question that is that what we do with what the Lord's given us? Probably way too often is the case. Or we want something from the Lord and we want it for just our own selves, not to glorify Him. It was an interesting thing that something, you know, just as little as changing your mind about why you want to go about doing a thing or why you want a thing. I remember I didn't want an iPhone for a long time because, hey man, I had a flip phone and I can make phone calls and receive phone calls. The time I need, I can get in touch with somebody and, you know, they can get in touch with me. But somebody else pointed out, a lot of people like that, but see, what you're saying, just listen to yourself. Listen to yourself. It's all about you. It's all about you and what you want. Now, what kind of service could you give to others if you have this at work, at this point? And quite frankly, it's been a great blessing that way. But it's about what are you going about wanting the things that you're asking from the Lord for? You really want to glorify Him. And see, let's read down a little bit. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is enemy of God. And you're talking about in Chronicles, here's a warning to them to turn away from their wicked way. Turn away from the way of the world. You know, do when we go and step out into that world, are we just sitting there trying to, you know, in the sense, are we conforming ourselves to this world?
Conforming or joining.
Or joining
to it. I mean, the choices you make will show you which one you're doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, you know, as I was looking and you were going through Second Chronicles, I'm seeing this identical thing. There's too many times we're about consuming it upon our own lust. Too many times we're friendship of the world. We want everybody else's approver, not God's. And it's not,
or you want God's approval, and you don't want people to be upset with you, so you want their approval also. But you can't.
You can't.
You can't serve two masters. And if you want them to like you, then you love the world.
Yeah, exactly.
If you love the Lord, then you're going to do what is right.
Absolutely. And that's where the choice is. What are you going to join yourself to? You're no different. When you want to take that and consume it upon your own lust, you're no different than the world. And that's what the world's built to do. Do you think the scripture saith the vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I mean, this old nasty flesh cannot please God, does not want to love God at all, can't love God.
And never will.
And never will. Where are we taking our direction from? This own carnal man, being a friend of the world and its ways? You know, I mean, and the question just sits there, and as I read James, I look at Hannah. Hannah wanted that thing, and she wanted that thing, and she glorified the Lord with it. And you know, when she walked away, it was an interesting thing. When she walked away from asking or requiring of the Lord, she went back to dinner after Eli had told her that she was going to receive that child. After Eli had told her, you know what? She wasn't down. She was very down before she went to the Lord. She went down and she went and had the feast with everybody, had a great time. It was like she had already received it. She had already gotten it. She believed that word that came down. You know, when we receive things from the Lord, do we receive them when we're doubtful? No. And then receive them in faith. And then why do we want that thing? Then where's your motive in it? I mean, when we ask a thing, I mean, do we just praise God and go about as we received it? I mean, if you want discernment, direction, and the love of Christ to love others with and show people the gospel, turn around and you ask for that in the morning. Turn around, go in the morning as if you already received it. And watch, when you're truly about Him in that, He's going to show up for you. He's going to show up for you.
Yeah. Amen.
And you resist that. You resist every high thing that comes against the knowledge of Christ. You cast it down. You resist that. When that old man starts to creep in, you resist. Be about Him. You were talking about praying this morning in that place where this isn't going to work for me.
Right. Well, I got it. I don't need to.
Or I got
either
it.
Way.
Either way. Where is the Lord going to honor either one of those things? No.
He can't.
He can't. Especially if you say you're a believer. James is here, is writing to the Jews, but they're believers. We can take something from this. You know, and the truth of the matter is exactly what you're saying, is when you go about what is being shown, you know, we say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. And you're serious about it because you want it. As you go through your day, what will happen is, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You can hear your complaint. You can hear what's coming out of your mouth. You can hear your attitudes kind of roll out. It might not even be coming out. You can, in your mind, you know they're there. And you recognize those things aren't of the Lord. Lord, what's going on? He said, you asked for creating me a clean heart. He's showing those things you can get shed off. See, Jesus Christ died on the cross that we don't have to be bound to those things anymore.
Right. And when you see those things, you have a choice.
You do.
You can either say, oh yeah, I don't like that, and tuck it away and try to forget about it. Or you can see it as an answer to that prayer. And say, praise God, I'm glad that somebody's shown me. Thank you, Lord. And go about changing it.
Yeah, and you can choose to change. It's just a choice that you make. A choice that you make. I tell you, it's kind of interesting, and this is a bad testimony to me, but I don't care because it's one that was, praise God, it's part of that virgin process. I remember coming back to work after going to James's, having some few days off, and coming back. Tuesday was like Wednesday coming back in, 4 days off, it was great. It was like walking the Green Mile. Instead of being grateful that I had that time off, it was like walking the, did not want to go, man. Did not want to go. And then what I could see was, the attitude behind it. Well, thank God I have a job. Some people don't.
Sure.
Thank God the Lord's provided me with a workplace that teaches me how to love. Thank God I have that time and fellowship that I have with my brothers and sisters in the Lord.
Changing that perspective.
What does the scripture say? Do all things without murmuring or complaining and murmuring or...
Do all things as heartily as unto the Lord.
Or do all things as heartily unto the Lord. Whatever the time it is, not when it's convenient for you. Right. See, that's because when it's convenient, that's when you make it your Lord, not him. You haven't given yourself unto the Lord.
Right, then it's about your priorities,
not
as opposed to his.
Yeah. I mean, you want the Lord to move in situations and be glorified in situations, and others may see in the way that you can partake of. It's his agenda, man. It's his plan. It's what he wants. It was interesting. I remember coming in, I think, Wednesday night, and it was just a small part. I mean, it was a praise Lord. I mean, and Wednesday ended up being a really fun day. And I mean, it was a praise God and changed my attitude, and we had a good time. But at the end of it, it was like I just stepped into the room and hopes listening to Bible study, and all I heard Robin was say something about, and it should be, see, done without complaint, is what was it was said. I was like, thank you, Lord. See, because it's when you really choose to serve the Lord, he's going to give you that opportunity. Or you even claim with your mouth in prayer that you want to serve him and you want this, he's going to give you those opportunities. And when you find yourself not in that place, why do you think Jesus Christ died? Not to save your flesh. That thing is condemned. It's going to hell. It's cursed. But to save your soul. And he's given you the freedom to make that choice. If you can't make that choice, if you seriously cannot make that choice, you need to seek some counsel. You need to seek some counsel. You might be bound up with something. It might be something that you need prayer for. Might be you not have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Might you have believed some other doctrine.
Might need to revive. You know, get down and seek the Lord in these things.
Yeah. And, you know, 2 Corinthians 7, 2 Chronicles 7.
Yeah, there you go.
It began with a C. Come on. I was close. I was in the right sort of book.
A lot of the letters are the same, Paul.
Yeah. But
vastly
that's what
different
I'm
books. Yes.
2 Chronicles, it's easy for me to say. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. The way the construction of it is, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, right? Then I will hear from heaven, and I will heal their land.
If then,
right, there's an agreement, and the agreement is the testimony of me is my ways are wicked, and I'm prideful and arrogant. Before you can humble yourself and pray, you have to be able to agree that that is the truth. You have to be willing to agree that that is a true testimony about me. And that I see that I need to repent. And that's where revival begins. And it begins in you. It's a personal thing. Before it can ever go to anybody else out there, it causes you to change your attitude and to plug back in to his plan. To be seeking to do the things you do because he wants them done, not because they serve and suit you and are convenient. But that is an attitude adjustment that has to happen. Because we don't come by it natural.
There's no, how can you humble yourself if you don't recognize that? How can you humble yourself and ask for repentance if you don't think you're going the wrong way?
Right.
If you don't think you're wicked. You know, part of that creating me a clean heart, I mean, there is a part of that where some of the things that are being shown to you is that thing that is not clean. And
it may not even be a clear understanding of that, but a fear that you may be wrong that drives you to that prayer. You know? I know that I didn't have total clarity on what I was agreeing to, what I wasn't. I just knew that I was fearful that I'd had no understanding about the Lord and His ways, and everything I thought to do was about me. It wasn't about Him or wasn't about other people even. I was a selfish, am, probably, as well. But, you know, that's not what I desire to be. And I, you know, the Lord's...
That's a pretty clear understanding, Paul, of recognizing something. I'm selfish and what I want is my way.
I didn't say I understood all that. I knew that I was wrong, but I didn't know specifically why I was wrong. I just knew I was wrong.
But one of the things, when the kids were watching that Benjamin Franklin documentary thing I mentioned during service, they were talking about him and how he made decisions and, you know, the different aspects of things that were going on in his life. And over again, you see with him and the decisions that he made, he had this sort of scientific mind. I mean, he was an inventor and, you know, all this. But, I mean, what I'm getting at is, if he thought a thing to be true, but there was evidence to the contrary, he was able to say, okay, I have to examine this evidence because it doesn't fit with what I believe to be true. And then he would be able to separate that. I mean, he was a loyalist at first and then becomes one of the leaders of the revolution. You know, in all these other different aspects of his life, he had to take his current beliefs and what he thought when presented with contrary evidence and relook at it and drill down to the truth. That's what we need to do.
Amen. I mean, and that could come in any way. I mean, one of the things is that, Paul, I mean, you knew you were wrong. Well, one, I mean, you could look around yourself and see that things are upside down and in a mess, and they shouldn't be. The other thing is that you had somebody that loved you enough to tell you who you are in the sense of how you are, the truth about yourself, of how you are wicked. I mean, sometimes, I mean, we go about thinking we're not wicked, but then when that testimony,
right,
look,
when you
man,
get that,
you're wicked.
When you get that
oh,
contrary evidence, you gotta humble yourself enough to hear it.
I mean, listen, let's look at David. David was, Nathan came to David. You are the man. Oh, wow. Lord, have mercy. I mean, part of going and preaching that gospel is calling people, sinners, to repentance. That rich young ruler thought he had it all in his sock, remember?
Yeah.
One thing thou lackest, go sell everything thou hast and come and follow me. And that had to be a presentation to see that wasn't ever laid out. He could have gone his whole life if he never talked to Jesus about it. And that area was never presented. He could have gone his whole life thinking that he was good and he was fine and he was going to heaven and what that came out his door was hell.
All right.
And there's a place, I mean, how can you repent of something where you don't realize you're wrong at something? Or it's presented to you, or you just see it. I mean, for me, it was just evident. Now, I had justified myself many which ways on all kinds of things, but it came down to the truth. I knew I have caused a mess in my life. I just looked around. I caused this mess. Wasn't how I was raised. Wasn't the troubles I went through going when I was being raised. Wasn't split family, the psychologist told me. They wanted to justify me and how I was. But the truth was, no, I made these choices. I made these decisions. And that's the place where, when I came to that, man, I received joy. Man, I received forgiveness. Man, did that weight come lifted off of me.
But you knew that and couldn't receive their justification for the way you are.
No, it didn't do anything for me. Nothing changed.
Nothing
I mean, if
all.
I could receive that justification, but nothing was still going to change.
Right.
But see, when I came to recognize it was my own self and asked for Jesus' help, that changed. That changed.
That worked.
That's the only thing that can work. Now, you can go to the place, and then what they can do is they can prescribe you a bunch of medicine that was supposed to be help you get better and help you make... No, it just makes you more screwed up and more reliable and more dependent on something, and it makes you, furthers you into bondage. Mm-hmm. Or you can actually go see the deliverer. I mean, who's right there available for you? And, you know, if you want to be a servant of the Lord, He's right there, and you can partake of that. But, I mean, it's all about what... What is it that you really want to do? Do you want to be a part of this world? Do you really want your land healed? Starts with you. I mean, do you really want to go and glorify Him, or do you yourself want to be glorified? It's a choice. And when we read, when I read Hannah, when I read James, it's a reflection. These are things I ask myself when I go about my day. The truth comes out. And then, you know what? I can change my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I can repent. I mean, what does it say in James 8? It says, draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Mm-hmm. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Quit putting your hands to the things of the world and to your own agenda and your own priority. Purify your hearts. Change your motive. Why you want to do the thing. That's what it's talking about. Quit being double-minded. Choose who you want to serve. I mean, that old man, he ain't going to give up. He says, resist the devil and he will flee. What do you got to do? It says to resist. He's not going to flee right away.
What do you have?
I mean, if that thing wants to come back, you cast that thing down, man. And you say, no, this is not the way I want to go. My soul is free from you, you old man. I want to go and serve the Lord. Lord, I want to partake of you. There it is. It's right there. It's right there. His hand's right there.
Lord, is that a hand?
Lord, is that hand?
Hmm? What are you coming against in the heart with purification? You're coming against unbelief. And you're really coming against your natural inclination to trust in yourself. Because that's unbelief in operation. And it is committing again to agreement with the Lord that, you know, my heart may have been clean, but it's still in a corrupt body, and the corrupt body still wants to make inroads back into it, and I can't live like this, Lord. Take it and make it yours. Make it something that pleases you, and help me to agree with it. Because what comes out of my mouth so frequently is not in agreement with it. It's rebellion and presumption and pride, and I have already seen the end of that, and I don't like it. And He's good. He's faithful. He will is at hand.
And man, if this was all relied on us, I mean, we'd be doomed. This isn't. It's relying on the sufficiency of His sacrifice,
what
He overcome, and the victory that He stands in. It's right there. It's us to choose to be a part of that. I know Davey was talking this morning I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Yeah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't leave him.
Right.
I mean, we can leave him. We can depart
you got a free
from
will.
That faith.
Yeah.
I mean, we were talking last night. It was interesting. We were all talking around. We were talking about the interesting things through our... It was a lot on, I'll never leave you, forsake you. And I remember we were talking a lot about the times where when we're out in rebellion, being stupid, that the Lord kept us. Kept us and kept us getting killed. Mm-hmm. Kept us from stupid things with major consequences that could have happened. He was there in the midst of all those things. Never left us or forsake us. We might have left him, but see, he by faith doesn't guarantee that you're going to enter in.
No.
Because you come to the point where you just leave, you abandon, you know he's right here, you can walk away. And it's, I mean, the Lord's good. You were talking about that, those avenues, that back, that, you know, I had a clean heart, all these things. But that battle, I mean, one, it says in Hebrews, the sin that what so easily besets us. Man, we stop fighting that good fight of faith. Unbelief can enter in and take over in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
But the provision's right there to overcome all of it. It's right here in the Word. It's right there. He's right there. He's Lord of that hand like we talked about. What does it say here? It says the Spirit that, let's see here. Do you think the Scripture saith me, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? That's that. That's that spirit of pride, man. That's that flesh, man. That
iniquity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it comes down. You wonder if you're going about wondering why things are upside down. Start getting honest with yourself. Get in your closet. Get with somebody around you. Ask some questions.
You know, you can receive some grace.
It might be you just need to resist the enemy just coming at you. You just got to trust he's going to go above it all. It might be that you're going the wrong way and you walked out from underneath the umbrella. But how will you know unless you examine yourself? How will you know unless you get in your closet and you pray? How would you know unless you go and seek counsel? That if you are partaking in that wicked way, you can turn from it. And see, the Lord doesn't do these things to us. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And he has a plan and a protection right there. But he's right there. He's got an umbrella there for you to partake of. He's got a plan for you there to partake of. It's all right there. It's when you go outside that plan. It's when you know, whatever, all this stuff goes upside down. Heck, I mean, could just be the enemy coming at you. It could be simply you're just being persecuted for righteousness' sake. And there's a bigger picture going on that the Lord may be give the other person a choice to turn from their ways. And you're suffering so that they could see that they're in wicked way. And whichever side they turn, it will be righteous of the Lord to do whatever when the day comes. I mean, you look at Stephen, you look at Peter, you look at Paul. I mean, they were persecuted, shipwrecked, all these things happened. But they were doing that which the Lord had. And they were able to praise God through it. And it gave many people opportunity to turn. But these are the things that, as you're going through your daily walk, one, you can examine yourself, and two, you have somebody. We're blessed to have people looking over us that can see the big picture.
The thing you'll be going through might just be so that the Lord can show the other people His goodness when He meets you and shows up, and he shows that thing to the other person.
Amen.
So, you know, it's, it can't be all about you. You have to trust that the Lord is faithful and righteous, and it, constantly trying to make a way for those who don't have a relationship with him to receive the truth and deliverance from bondage, which is all wrapped up in the good gospel. I mean, all that. The gospel opens you up to be a partaker in things that are better than you can imagine.
Amen. I remember there was a time I was going through this time. It was a hard time. But a lot of times going through it. But this was a hard time I was going through, and that it was the time I didn't really understand what the deal was. But as I was going through it, it was just to keep stepping forward, keep going forward. And at the end of the week, there's somebody else going through that same thing. And the choice, and how the Lord showed up for me in those things, I was able to reveal to somebody else. And the testimony came back. I did that, and the Lord showed up. You know, I mean, it's a beautiful, how many times is that the case? He's saying, you know, you're talking about Paul, you know, it's not about you in that sense. And one of the things is when you minister unto another, and I was actually praying some things, and when you minister to another person, are you looking at and seeing what their situation, are you listening and seeing what their situation looks like and how things can unfold for them? And the Lord, I mean, are you really looking at it as it was in, you were in their shoes, given that same intention? As if you were in it.
Well,
it's kind of interesting because I was looking at some guys at work and their situations, and I was seeing it just kind of brought a light to their situation. And I knew how the Lord moved in my life, and I know that that's available for them. It's right there. And but if I don't open my tater trap, make myself available. And I'm all consumed about what's going on with me.
Yeah.
What does that do for anybody?
It doesn't do anything.
Not a thing. There is that part. You also examine yourselves. Whether you see this be in the faith. I know it does not take long for me to look and to hear and listen and recognize that I need to repent of those things. Receive that precious gift and go forward trusting Him. It's an amazing thing when you make that choice. It just bad as it can go south all of a sudden. Get some news or the sin that so easily besets you, or just as bad as it can go south and seem to be upside down. As quick as you can make a choice and it become right side up, even though it's playing like it's upside down, and watch things be revealed and unfold.
Get that complete 180.
Yeah. Kind of like where, and that's that faith where you believe them. Kind of like Hannah, when she went and received that word, it was like she already had it.
Yep.
She already had it. See, that's faith. And she believed, and it wasn't God directly came down and talked to her and said, "You're going to get this child." No, it came from Eli the priest. And heck, I mean, Eli the priest, I mean, he had issues, man. I mean, if you read, he had issues. Some things went down. He didn't stand up to some things. Some things went down. But the Lord still honored
Hannah's faith.
Hannah's faith, and also the office that Eli was partaking in at that time.
Amen.
And see, it was about that uniform. And nothing really how good or bad Eli was. She believed the uniform, and she believed God. Do we? What happens when you get advice? Oh, I don't think it's like that. Man, you don't understand. I don't think he really knows where I'm coming from.
My situation's different.
My situation's different.
But, yeah. Yeah, it's not.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Don't not reveal the whole, all the information to that you're seeking counsel from. I mean, don't do that. That's not what I'm getting at. It's
just... When people think that, and I've thought it in the past too, you just don't get me. Don't understand me. Don't get my situation. I mean, that's just pride and arrogance. I guess they're one and the same, really. It was... You guys remember Muhammad Ali, right? The boxer. I remember they were doing something on ESPN a few years back about, you know, stories of his life or something. There was one of them where... Well, everybody knows that he had this flamboyancy of just pride and arrogance that it was sort of his shtick. Maybe it was his personality, or maybe it was mixed, you know, something his persona he put on. But at any rate, one of the stories goes that he's on a plane, and he's up in the aisle, and he's telling jokes, and he's talking to people, and he's entertaining them, and people are laughing. And the stewardess comes up and says, Mr. Ali, I need you to sit down and put on a seatbelt, because we're about to take off. And with, you know, he kind of gives the stewardess that sort of look that he did, you know, like the growl look, and he says, Superman don't need no seatbelt. Right? And the stewardess says to him, well, Superman don't need no plane. Now sit down and put on your seatbelt.
That's awesome.
But it's just that pride and arrogance is what I was talking about. People got that to one degree or another.
When he described his technique, it was rope-a-dope. How belittling can you get, right?
Yeah.
I don't respect the competition at all. They're just dopes.
Mm-hmm.
So. Not a big fan.
No, I wasn't either. I just thought it was a funny story.
Yeah, it was.
But it shows that pride and arrogance that's really inherent in all people to one degree or another. And we got to be shed of that.
It's wanting pride to be justified.
Self-pity, pride.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks looks different. It's still pride. Yeah. I'm so bad I can't receive. Oh, there's no more grace for me. I'm so bad. Pride, you're not that bad. You're not bigger than the sufficiency of the blood of the Lamb. Now you're just making an excuse. But, you know, it's that you were talking about Chronicles this morning. My people shall humble themselves, that are called by my name, humble themselves.
And pray.
And pray.
And seek my face.
Seek my face. And what, and turn from their wicked ways?
Yes.
Just that part right there. Where are we at in that part? And what I mean is, where are we at in that James part? Where are we at? Where are we really making him Lord? Are we really about his agenda? Maybe he's talking about he wants to be his hand, man. The hand doesn't get thrown away. Man, that's available to you. That's available to us. But we do need to get cast down anything else but seek his face. and be about his agenda. James, you know, talked about a little bit later about the law, and the law that he's talking about is loving God, loving one another. But really, that's what the commandment boils down to. What situation does that not work? Love God, love one another. Man, what? There's nothing. If everybody was loving God, loving one another in a body, there is nothing that could go wrong in that scenario. Nothing.
That's why he says, "Don't speak evil." Don't speak evil one of another. Why? Why would you do that? Well, make yourself look better than you are, but or feel better about yourself than you currently do by putting some kind of evil thing on somebody else that perhaps wasn't deserving, or maybe it was. It's really irrelevant. If you're loving them, you're not going to do that. It says, when you speak judgment, speak evil of one another, you're judging the law. That law is the righteous law, the love God, love one another. And in the same way that, not in the way we understand philios or eros, but how Jesus represented agape, where he preferred the Father and his will and his words and his plan to his own life. And he preferred delivering you to the Father over his own life. And that's, if you're judging that when you speak evil of another.
When you're talking about in the judging, there is the judgment to condemnation. You're better than.
And it's,
that's the judgment. You take a look at, you might see what somebody is doing and judge that. You don't judge the person themselves, but what they're putting their hands to might be wrong.
The behavior that they're exhibiting.
Yeah, is wrong. You're not judging them, you're going and loving them.
Sure.
By telling them, that's wrong, man. It's not. That's the wrong way. That's love. And there's no judgment there. That's just agape love. A lot of people perceive it as judgment.
Why?
Sometimes people perceive them loving one another and it's actually judgment. It goes the other way around.
Go ahead, James. You had something to say, speak up.
Can you all hear me?
Yeah, we hear you fine. It's just we're not paying any attention to you.
I didn't know. Apparently the audio's fixed so well y'all don't hear me.
we just about got it dialed in, I think.
I wanted to go back to 2 Chronicles 14. I tried back when you were talking about it, Paul, but apparently I wasn't coming through. I don't know. But what's always struck me with that verse is it starts with, if my people, and it ends with, will heal their land. And you look at the condition of our nation, and it's horrible. And you talk to people that say they're believers, and they blame everybody. It's our president. It's, we allow this, we do this. But it strictly here states that the condition of the land is a direct reflection of the people, and those people are the believers. And, it says in the scripture, I will give you rulers after your hearts. We need to take heed to this verse, because there's room in our hearts for... We have places in our hearts that need to change.
Amen.
It has absolutely nothing to do with the condition of this land with unbelievers and what they're doing.
Right. God gave Jacob the name Israel, and everybody that came forth from Jacob became the Israelites. And they were God's people. And
still are.
Absolutely. But in the context of this verse.
Absolutely.
Which was a long time ago.
Yeah.
But in the context of this verse, it is God's people who are being called to humble themselves and pray. It's not the nations around them.
Sure, which now includes Christians and
right.
Israelites, Jews.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, it comes back to the thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I mean, we call ourselves Christians. We've taken Jesus' name. If we're not doing his thing, then we've taken his name in vain.
It's that simple.
That simple. So, but maybe that was the final word? I don't know.
But it's ourselves. It's not the condition of this, the condition of that, condition of ourselves. I mean, when you go, you just take that one, do all things as hardly as unto the Lord.
Yeah.
Oh man, I got it. That's a window to your soul, man. Mm-hmm. That's complaint.
No complaint can ever be of God because no complaint has faith in it. And if it's not of faith, it's unbelief. Can't be honored.
I mean, it starts with us. I mean, it doesn't start with this or this. Hey, they might be wrong too. But where are you standing?
Yeah.
Because that's who you choose for. And you have that freedom. I mean, the Lord gave you that freedom of choice, what you want to send there.
Every complaint is it not doesn't have faith in it? I'm just sitting here.
That is what I said.
You're ugly and your mother dresses you funny. That's a complaint. Right?
No, that's just the truth.
Oh, well.
You're getting mixed up
I'm
here,
sorry.
Man.
Yeah, I apologize for being sorry. Get back on the course.
You love them anyway without complaint.
It is an effort sometimes. Oh. Somebody's phone's talking to them.
But
we won't say who.
But that personal just coming down right to that personal. I mean, that personal choice, that examine yourselves, humble yourselves and pray. Seek his face. Get a part of on his plan. You can be, it's funny, you can be doing something as hardly as the Lord. You make that choice, man, it could be a great choice. You do something, the same exact thing, go about your day the same way without choosing him, murmuring, complaining, it's not, there's no good at partaking of the world way, you do the same thing.
Gail Scott pointed out that even when he was having a conversation with Abraham, that, if there were five here, would you say that he got down to five in Sodom and Gomorrah before he pulled out his people, pulled out Lot and his family, And then he judged it. But the judgment didn't fall on the one righteous. And it's getting to be that time. So let's wind this thing up. And James, you have anything to add here?
Nothing else, Paul.
Anything from any of y'all? Or are we done? We're done. Isn't that special? All righty. Thank you for joining us here on another Hour of Truth. We'll see you next time right here on the Eagle Radio Network with the next Hour of Truth.